It is the last week of April of 2023. I have in the studio with us today Michaela Rice, naturalist at Gooseberry Falls State Park. Michaela, happy belated Earth Day to you. I bet it was a busy one. Something tells me.
Yeah, even though it was raining most of the day, we had both of our parking lots apparently were packed all day. The programs I helped, I guess, put on, facilitate between Jackie, Fallon, and I, we had almost 1,000 people come to our two events. Her birds, of course, were on beautiful display and everyone loved to see them. So that was really great. And
Jackie still coming with peregrines, or occasionally is there another species sometimes?
She has two birds right now that she uses for most of her programs or all of her programs. They are the peregrine falcon Rye, Rylate,
okay,
is her name, and then her American kestrel named Juliet is also who comes.
I should know that, but I haven't actually gotten up there for these wonderful presentations at our North Shore State Parks. That means that you yourself had another program. And what were you up to?
Oh, I had my kind of nature cart display of how Lake Superior was formed. So and a bit of geology type stuff. So I had a trivia wheel and then a little timeline of how the Lake Superior Basin and Lake Superior was created. And then I had a little find an agate bin where people would try looking for agates.
And what's the time scale for this transformation into?
Ooh.
We've had our share of lakes around here, like Lake Agassiz, and now we've got Lake Superior.
Sure. So I started my timeline at 1.1 billion years ago when the mid-continental rift in this area was starting, which is how the basin started to be formed. So that's how long ago, I guess, things were starting that, you know, affected the Lake Superior Basin.
So that could bring kind of a quizzical look on the face of, say, a young 10-year-old that you're describing things that happened in just a ridiculous time scale, 1.2 billion years. How can they relate to 1.2?
I say that too. I was like, are you a billion years old? I mean, I don't know a way to describe it. And I had played with this idea of having this huge timeline. Of course, my crafting didn't really work out and kind of things fell apart. But yeah, this idea, and we can't even fathom as adults really how old billions of years are and how these continents were literally moving around on these tectonic plates. I mean, it just blows my mind every time I think about it.
Just another fascinating part of the North Shore is that we're in touch with these mineral elements that are just right at the Earth's surface that are going back to the beginning of the planet.
Yeah, these
well, really actually, if it's a 4-billion-year-old planet, we still have another couple billion years to account for, Michaela, but my mind is already quite busy digesting that. And in case you're wondering, we are here doing Wandering Nature News. You can hear it every other week. Our correspondent, Michaela Rice. So a good Earth Day and a busy one.
Yes, great turnout. Thanks for everyone who came to the park. And I think the snow is melting. Oh, I just don't want to talk about it. But at the park, I did a lot of walking today. We still do have some snow, but we don't have those deep snow banks like in Finland that are still literally up to your hips in some shady places. So
yes,
we are really starting to get in, you know, mud spring mode. Lots of standing water at the park.
I can point out, you know, human phenology is kind of important too. And there are some weirdos out there we call late season skiers. And I mean Nordic skiers, not people trying to go down Spirit Mountain. But these are people who are looking for places where snow has been protected and they can ski sort of a straight line or a snaky thing to go and get their last kilometers of the season. People, I have a friend who reached the 1,000-kilometer mark for the season by skiing today on the snowmobile trail. And anywhere that snow has been compacted and it has tree cover, it could linger well into May yet.
Yeah,
so if you're out there and want some opportunities, you have to do some looking, but they're there.
It's fun because I see these dogs that come to the park and they'll pick just one. We have like maybe one snowbank by the visitor center and I just watch dogs go in there and roll around. And it's like, they're going to miss the snow. I think they go and cool off, you know, but it's so funny because there's just this one big snowbank that all these big dogs have been rolling in.
I have one more bit of human phenology, which is on driving to the station today. I passed a younger man on the side of the road who had found a big clump of snow that must have been pushed up away from the road by the snowplow and had lingered there. It was all bare ground around him, and he was stomping with something resembling anger, stomping the snow into smithereens. And I thought, okay, he's had a long winter and he's done.
Yeah.
No further explanation needed. He was saying goodbye to winter.
Or it's like puddle jumping, but with the snowbanks.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we do have lots. I mean, it couldn't be a busier time of the year phenologically, although still don't have the wood frogs and the peepers in my neighborhood, Michaela. They're like 2 weeks later than normal.
I haven't heard any frogs. Haven't seen anything. I still haven't seen snakes up here.
Only in Duluth?
No, the one snake I did see was down in the suburbs, in the cities.
Can't count that. Okay.
Yeah. So I haven't seen just the salamanders that I mentioned, but I don't think, you know, any turtles or anything yet either.
Yeah.
There was one other critter, the bats. I haven't heard anything about bats yet, if they've kind of returned or woken up or anything, but that's kind of another animal I'm waiting for.
Yeah, flying mammals, no. Reptiles, limited. You saw some amphibians when we had the warm days. Birds, though. Birds are a happening thing.
Oh, that's pretty much what's been on my mind is birds. There's, you know, kind of these pockets. We have the mouth of the river where I was practicing my merganser ID and the ducks. And then up the Gooseberry River, we saw a loon today, which was awesome. There's also gulls and geese down on like the picnic flow in the rocks. And then in like the campground or, you know, more of the conifer areas, we have all these sparrows, right? The juncos are going nuts. Oh my gosh, the flocks of juncos on the highway last week. I mean, they were getting pummeled a little bit, but
yeah,
the
pulsating
birds,
waves of juncos. Mm-hmm. And yes, you're right. Sometimes it's not good for all of the population, but it does show there is a good population, but some are getting injured and killed by the activity, unfortunately. That and there's also just so much competition now to get at sites where there's feeding taking place. We have, for better or worse, we have white-tailed ungulates in the mix, so they get more than their fair share of seeds.
Yeah,
we took
our bird feeders down. I know everyone at the park isn't too happy about that, but I knew the bears were awake and trying to be responsible. But so our birds have kind of left some of our feeding stations. But I saw so many at the campground. The campground is a place where we've planted a lot of new trees and a lot of diverse trees. There's also tons of mountain ash, tons of viburnum, a lot of these mast producing
end of the season, of course, for it to be quite.
But they're kind of taking advantage maybe of the some of that have been left over the winter.
Really?
And all like the catkins and the things that are starting to open up.
Yep.
So that's where I've been seeing a lot of birds, the juncos, the sparrows, the flicker. I did see the grouse and I heard a drumming grouse today, which is just one of my favorite noises.
Absolutely.
To hear in the woods.
And so, do you happen to recall the when they have their young?
I think,
is this associated with the fact that they
I
may
think
have nests?
They're getting ready for their like intense drumming. I think that starts in May, and then I believe they'll start nesting mid to late May. Same with the turkeys. They're not quite ready to have their nests.
In quotes, a normal year. Well, and we'll see how that evens out this year.
Yeah, actually someone posted on Facebook a nest they found in the snow.
Oh.
I'd never seen a turkey nest in the snow before.
The turkey
but they
was
can
tired
have
of waiting,
multiple
right?
nests.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know. So,
wow.
Yeah, it is starting to be nesting season.
Wow. I noted to you before we went on the air that you called it a young Jake that is walking in circles around my house, leaving a trail of turkey tracks.
I would presume it's a young Jake. Yeah, he can't quite compete with the bigger flock, and he's still kind of figuring out how to be a tom and probably, still kind of, you know, fending for himself. But you'll have to look at his tail fan if he ever does a display.
Yeah.
If he's a Jake, he won't have his full fan. There'll be some feathers in the middle that won't be as tall. They won't have like the barring. That's really how you tell, because Jakes will still have beards like toms.
Okay. So the tail feathers will look a little rough, like they're not fully developed across the span.
Exactly. You'll be like, oh, there's kind of a chunk of that big tail that's missing. You got to grow those out a little
bit. I might have just thought that a bear chased them.
You know,
what do I know? But we haven't seen the bears yet at our place. But what was I? Oh, I did want to point out that we also had a woodcock calling between our two neighbors, and they pointed it out to us, and my wife still couldn't believe what she was listening to. Maybe we should look up a little bit more about that so we can have some information. I know one of the hosts here at KTWH is very familiar with their life cycle, and I am not at all. They are a very strange-sounding creature.
And too bad people can't see us over the radio, but we could try to do their little dance, too, but we won't do that.
There are some videos online that you can see. People have set different music, like the instrumental song Tequila. They show a woodcock dancing to that tune. That's absurd. But, you know, people, we anthropomorphize anything that you can. You can try to
have you heard the
human qualities.
Cute nickname of the timber doodle that they call the woodcock?
I have heard. Just last night I encountered that and thought, oh, isn't that silly? Okay, it's cute. I'll give you that.
It's cute.
Yeah. And among the birds, we have now the songbirds coming in. And you mentioned to me that somebody has heard a white-throated sparrow already, and I haven't yet at our house. That's kind of a major
event. Yeah, I have not seen one myself, but the word on the street is that there has been one spotted.
The word on the street. We have informants that tell us about where birds are emerging because they're not evenly distributed. That's the fun. You get to be the first. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get to be the first sighting or hearing.
Yep.
So you've got lots more going on in terms of projects and activities that are sponsored through Gooseberry and occur. Where do they occur? You want to talk about your upcoming digging?
I have one program.
That's right.
At the library this Friday. So this is my community creations that the library is graciously hosting for me this month. And I've only had one person register.
Make a pitch, though. There are people listening.
So come make beautiful art with me with supplies that I've collected from 1 to 3 at the library, the public library in Two Harbors. And then I have my first program of my Digging Down to the Roots tree series that will be going on throughout the whole summer. But I have my first one this Saturday, and this is my tree hugging program. So we will be going on a little walk and finding some huggable trees, and you will feel better after you leave, I promise. And so, yeah, I'm really excited to get my summer programs kind of kicked off. And
so all of your, as I look at this nice layout on this flyer, all of the Digging to the Roots, Down to the Roots, all start at 10:30 at the Visitor Center?
Yeah, there's maybe one program that I have us meeting down by the Lakeview shelter. Yeah, there's two special trees that I actually went and surveyed today that are really large and old and special that I wanted to meet down there so we could go visit. Need a parking pass to park down at Lakeview. You do not need parking pass at Gooseberry to park at the Wayside Rest, but to go to that side of the park, you definitely need a parking pass.
Yep, it's past the magic zone. We're separating those who are just zooming in to take their look at the falls and get out versus those that are
day visitors, special anyway that we have that free parking spot because most state parks don't even have that. So.
It is, and it makes a difference for probably tens of thousands of people a summer because, I mean, maybe you don't want so many people, but, you know, that's what makes it one of the most visited places in Minnesota.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How is we heard about the day that the falls opened up, and how have the falls been? Have we kind of slowed down because we chilled out again, or are the falls roaring?
No, they're roaring still. It's funny because I had that interview with you, and I said that they had opened up, and then later that day our footbridge had flooded, so the water rose like 6 feet or something in less than just a few hours, but it receded.
Yes.
And we haven't had any other flooding, but the waterfall is still very, very full. I mean, our river is very full right now, but it's not flooding anything.
not flooding, and the people that come and stand by the cedars looking out over aren't being submerged in spray.
No,
it's not like being on the deck of the Titanic.
No, no, you can
which
stay
it, it can be, yeah. As you know, you almost have to hold on to somebody or something. Yeah. Wow. So digging down to the roots, I'm just reading from your flyer, including the reference to lowering stress hormones through tree hugging, and I'm feeling like anybody who still hasn't really released their cabin fever. We had a cabin fever reliever on Sunday, and a lot of people got a little therapy of being together and hearing great music. And this is another kind of music, the music of trees.
Yeah. So I actually studied stress hormones for my master's in animals, but I have a kind of, a biological understanding of cortisol. And this is a way to lower stress hormones in a very, very easy way. So I'm excited.
And do stress hormones kind of lead to physiological damage, metabolic bad things, free radicals?
Yep. There's so many things that stress hormones will do to your body, especially if it's, activated for a long period of time. It's a great mechanism because that's what saves our life. It's part of the,
But keep it up for too long and then what have you got?
Then it's damaging. Yep. Yeah. It shuts down other important things in your body. Like,
does that become a factor for animals that are winter fatigued and stressed?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
So as we watch our white-tailed deer trying to make it through to solid ground with green grass on it, we know that they're in the last few weeks of still being a little bit stressed.
Yep.
Well.
Yep, and that changes throughout the seasons and stuff too. So maybe we'll talk some hormones one day.
So remind us about the digging to the roots, though. It's starting this Saturday, April 29th. Then it'll continue the next week, but then there's a break, and then it's probably a break because it's Mother's Day weekend, too, and fishing opener.
Well, yeah, and I'm getting some of my possible interns and training and onboarding that week, so.
You're going to be busy with that.
Yeah, I'll be scattering these programs throughout the whole summer. This is just kind of my first set that I'm releasing, so please go online to the events calendar, Parks and Trails. And I have my programs listed there.
Because we won't be back for 2 weeks, I just want people to know April 29th, this Saturday, and the following Saturday, the 6th, those two in a row. Then we'll be back here and we can talk about the next two.
Yeah. Come learn about trees. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, we're up against the time again, Michaela. It's flown by.
We've wandered a lot. My feet are tired.
Flown by like a flightless bird. No, I'm teasing. It's been great. And what have we been doing during the last 15 minutes? We've been doing wandering nature news. You can hear it every other week on Wednesday morning, and it repeats on this following Saturday. Michaela, it's great to have you with us for this journey. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye for now. This is Leo for KTWH.